Hello there. This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Richwick with New Day Dawning. Thank you for joining us on Auckland Hospital Radio, your bedside entertainment system. Our theme today is living water, linked with the story of the woman at the well in Samaria. What fascinates me about Jesus is how much he always showed his concern and compassion towards those people who were considered outcasts or write-offs. He genuinely cared about a person's well-being. He believed in them and their potential, women as well as men. We find such a person today in our gospel, where Jesus breaks with convention to have a chat with a Samaritan woman. This sounds like a normal thing for someone to do here in the West, to have a conversation out in the street, stranger to stranger. But way back then, anyone seeing them talk would have considered it scandalous. We'll hear why in today's gospel reading after our first song, which is sung by a local ecumenical singing group called United Folk. You can hear all of their music free to download on my website, sheilahamill.co.uk. The soloist here is Ron Bedford with his song, If Any Man Thirsts.
If any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink.
If any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink.
Let's listen to that gospel reading now, taken from John chapter 4, verses 5 to 42. It's a fairly long reading, so once again I'll read it in several sections. I begin at verse 5. So Jesus came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Let's listen to a song called Let Your Living Water Flow.
Let your living water flow over my soul. Let your Holy Spirit come and take control.
It's interesting that the well Jesus visited here in Sychar was one dug by Jacob and presumably his family centuries before Jesus lived. You can still visit the spot today. It still produces fresh water. Wells in those days had to be dug deep in arid countries. Tremendous effort and skill was needed to penetrate through the many different layers of rock and soil in order to reach an underground spring. And here, when Jesus begins to talk to this woman, he reaches down into her life with the kind of questions that draw from her a response to his words. For Jesus, there are no labels. She's not a Samaritan, a woman, or a sinner. She's a child of God. So reading on from verse 11, we hear, "Sir," this woman said, "you've nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Here's a song sung by Kirsten Getty, which has this to say. Are you thirsty? Are you empty? Come and drink these living waters. Tired and broken, peace unspoken, rest beside these living waters.
Are you thirsty? Are you empty? Come and drink these living waters. Tired and broken, peace unspoken, rest beside these living waters. Christ is calling, find refreshing at of living water.
Jesus speaks to this woman as if he is gently digging the well itself. He is about to reach layers that are difficult to penetrate, but he persists. And she begins a pattern of changing the subject each time he draws close to the truth. We too are good at deflection, aren't we? There are times when God speaks to our hearts, but we either dismiss it or we find something else to occupy our minds. Let's hear what Jesus has to say to her, reading again from verse 15. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the spirit and in truth." Here is a song called "Woman at the Well." It tells this story. It's sung by Anne Millen Longacre.
I saw him sitting there. Normally I wouldn't care. He was not handsome to me. He was a Jewish man, and I a Samaritan. What attraction could there be? But something in his face reached across the space. Oh, what was he trying to see? He asked me for a drink. I didn't know what to think. This was not custom for me. "Sir, how is it that you ask me this, though you are a Jew?" His answer puzzling came. "Woman, if you knew whom you're talking to, well, you'd ask of me the same." Down in the ground I had gone for daily water. Down in the well of my soul came his eyes. Down in the ground I had gone for daily water. Now, down in the well of my soul came his eyes. Sometimes a conversation has another connotation, understood beyond words that are said. Talked of Jacob's well. Gradually I could tell this was no ordinary man. He knew of all my sin, and he told me just where I'd been, accepting water from my hand. I don't know. He seemed like God.
When this woman realizes that Jesus knows all about her life, she recognizes in him a prophet. He goes on to show her, though, that he's much more than that. He's the very source of the living water he's offering. Our reading ends with these words. The woman said, "I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." Jesus sees this woman as a vessel needing to be filled to overflowing with living water. But what exactly did Jesus mean when he offered the woman living water? It's interesting that the River Jordan feeds both the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea to the south. The two seas are only 63 miles apart, yet one spells life, the other death. At Galilee in the north, water flows in from the mountains, and then it flows out again and runs on. It's fresh, not stagnant, and consequently it's teeming with life. The river itself continues south to the Dead Sea, which is only in receive mode. It has no outlet, and so the waters become a mix of salt bromide and other chemicals, making it impossible for life to exist. Jesus was offering this woman something fresh and living and life-giving. How many of us today feel empty inside and would love to taste such living waters ourselves? Many people crave earthly pleasures, this next song says, but how many of these momentary pleasures can match the treasure found in Jesus Christ our Lord? His offer is still open today. So here's Cece Winans with a short prayer. Fill my cup, Lord.
Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting in my soul. Bread from heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole.
So how does our story today end? The woman immediately pours out these living waters to those she knows. She goes into her town to share the good news with everyone, and the people rush out to hear Jesus. And it's the townfolk who have the last word in the gospel. They tell her, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the saviour of the world." Christianity was once described as one thirsty traveller in the desert telling another where to find the oasis. Are we as eager to share the good news of Jesus? Are we willing to pour out the living water we've received in order to bring life to others? Or do we make of Jesus' message a secret oasis for our own comfort? If so, we may well find that the living water we've been freely given from the source will one day dry up. What we need more than anything else today is a new vision of what this world could be once floodgates of life-giving water pour out to feed the hungry and thirsty in our desert places. May the Lord give us the vision to look on all peoples of this world without fear or discrimination, without labels or judgment, but with fresh eyes. May he grant us this day compassion, openness and generosity in order to refresh others on their journey, And so we come to our final hymn, Be Thou My Vision, from the album Golden Days and Friendly Faces, and sung to us by local folk singers in our region. Bye for now.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Be all else but naught to me, save that thou art. Be thou my best thought in the day and the night, both waking and sleeping. Thy presence, my light.
Be thou my wisdom, be thou my true word. Be thou ever with me, and I with thee, Lord. Be thou I heed not, no.